I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Payroll. I've been there. Payroll.
Corrupt career politicians.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to another episode of Mo Ledge Podcast. We are here today with Rep-elect Gene Evans and, of course, our lovely co-host, Becky Lohman. And today, it's me. It's Rachel Herndon Dunn.
Yeah, I'm Scott Fawn's on vacation, I think, right?
Is he on
goofing
vacation?
Goofing around, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's out there actively thanking our sponsor, St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, the
Republic Services,
and, of course, the Carpenters Regional Council. We appreciate you very much. Now, there has been a lot of praise for this incoming representative who is currently just Gene Evans, but soon she will be Representative
Just Gene. That's what we'll call you.
She's just Gene today, but soon she'll be Representative Gene. And just to kick it off, I'm really curious, what are you looking forward to most as a legislator? I know you just did a tour, you've learned a lot, you're probably mildly overwhelmed.
Mildly. I think they say you're drinking from a fire hose, but right now they've just been kind of dripping it out, so getting in small doses. The bus tour starts next week, which will be interesting. I'm actually really looking forward to traveling around the state and learning more about other issues that I know as well, being from St. Louis. So I know there are a lot of things going on outside of St. Louis, believe it or not. There are, you know, there's more to this life than St. Louis. But in meeting the people and finding out what some of the things are, and I know that I've heard that sometimes there's a conflict between outstate areas and urban-suburban. So if I want them to understand my issues, I think I need to learn about theirs and understand what theirs are and figure out how we can come together. So I'm looking forward to that.
That makes sense. What are your issues? What was on
what
your
are
mail?
Your issues?
What was that's a loaded question. That's a loaded question.
I get asked that a lot. Yeah. So the reason I ran were economic issues. I feel like that's what I'm strongest is. I do have a daughter who got married, and she and her husband both found jobs before they graduated out of state. So that's where they're living, in Tulsa. And just trying to do some things with the economy. There are other smaller things. I'm very passionate about ending sex trafficking in Missouri. I've been following what they've been doing in the state. I'm very close with some people in Ann Wagner's office. She's my congresswoman. And Congresswoman Wagner has really led the fight nationally and has also done some things here in the state. And in that vein, I am going to file a bill raising the age that you can be married with one parent consent, asking that we raise it from 15 to 17. Because in Missouri, we have suddenly become a destination for people wanting to bring 15, 16-year-olds here to be married to their abusers, their predators, I could go on, but it's very sad. It's one of a series of little things we need to do to combat sex trafficking. There isn't one sweeping bill that we could enact to just stop it. And I know the commission looked at a lot of different things. So this is one thing that I want to start with and see where else I can help out, because St. Louis in particular, but also other areas of Missouri, including Springfield, Missouri, are some of the top locations for sex trafficking, believe it or not. And it's something you don't know about because it's not, you know, it's kind of the underbelly. So that's something that I hope to help curb in Missouri.
That's very cool. This is a terrible, terrible segue, but before you filed for office, what did you do?
People say that. I'm still doing it. I'm a real estate investor. I've been a volleyball coach for about 25 years, and I had to retire from coaching high school and club volleyball, but I'm still hoping to coach with Team USA in the summer and do some coaching with them. I did some private lessons after the election, but that's about all I've had time to do. Even though this is only supposedly a five-month job, I've been really busy meeting with business leaders.
They lied to you.
There are already like the invitations of things to go to, whether it's school board, municipal league, just being out there and getting involved and finding out what's going on. And then, and also just, you know, we're kind of the precipice in our region, particularly in the St. Louis area, of really taking the lead economically. We have become the number one place in the world for plant science research, and there are some things they're trying to do there. But the other thing is for logistics. They're saying the need for freight is going to double in the next 10 years, and where we are logistically with the rivers, the railroads, and the highways, St. Louis is poised to take advantage of that, and that will help our whole state. I mean, if we can get our farmers to get their goods to sale quicker, it's just, it works well for everybody. So those are some things that I feel like we need to get on top of quickly.
So what about your background in real estate and as a volleyball coach, do you think kind of crafted your mindset to get into politics? Because there's not an obvious connection
there.
And
I've actually been in real estate for a couple of years. I spent a long time in financial services and working with business owners. We just did our benefits like enrollment thing information downstairs with the other freshmen. I used to run those kind of meetings for people.
So did you hop up and just start barking orders? Make a lot of new friends day one, right?
So like me, but no, this time. But just being involved in the business community, I've always been interested in politics, and so I did a class called the Show Me Series for Women in Public Service and learned a lot more about a lot of different state issues, got to meet my legislators, got to meet Eric Schmidt, who actually asked me to run. And I cursed him a couple of times in the last few months, but I know I thank him because even if I hadn't won, it's just been a great experience. But starting kind of what the issues are and feeling like there weren't enough people like me, if that makes sense. So I'm a working...
Like a spike in mad ball.
That too. There are not enough volleyball players in legislature. Clearly that's an issue.
That's a problem in Missouri.
Yes, yeah, so they contacted me and said, as a volleyball coach. So, but what's interesting is right after I decided to run, there was an article in this volleyball magazine about how running a campaign is like coaching a volleyball team. And I thought, okay, great, I can do this because I've been doing this for a long time. If I can coach a team, I can run a campaign, clearly, because this article says that. So, but I think like the leadership stuff, you know, you're coaching teenagers, you just have to be who you pretend to be or who you say you are. You have to be transparent because they will see right through you. If you're fake, if you're telling them one thing and doing something else, you build no trust.
They'll eat you alive.
Yeah, you get nowhere. So
Missourians remember.
And they are so savvy with everything. So part of that is just being being transparent about who you are. And some things, you know, through years of coaching, I had to change because I wasn't that great of an example. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't say one thing and do something else. But thinking long-term about what your goals are, but also having short goals in between and getting up and working on them every day. So, for example, in the state, we have a lot of things that we want to do. You're not going to come down here in a week and get them all done. But having a long-term plan, and then you got to get up and execute on that every single day. And those little things that you're doing on a, you know, you say a day-to-day, but an hour-by-hour, a minute-by-minute in a practice or preparing for a practice are what get you to your goals. And so kind of that overcoming those obstacles, but also just consistency. You got to do the things that are going to make a difference every single day, work towards that goal. And if you have some setbacks, you just got to look at it as that's all it is. It's an obstacle. It's a setback. How do we get around it and keep going? So I think those sort of things have prepared me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm a former basketball coach, so like I'm digging the sports analogies and politics. I'm totally into it. Yeah. I drop those all the time at home and get a lot of eye rolls and things.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I see a lot of analogies, but you know, when you're a coach, you use sports for an analogy for everything.
Right. Because well, it overlaps with about everything, in my opinion. And I feel like we're digressing. This is like not a sports podcast.
You and I are going to start talking about. I have a general envy of sports journalists. Like, the way they break down sports, I wish we could do with politics. But that would really hurt a lot of people's feelings. Like, have you seen, I know Ben's sitting right here. He's our producer for the podcast. And there is an article that I think it was ESPN did like 4 years ago where they broke down how the Patriots performed based on where and how Phil Belichick wore hoodies. And I was like, you know what? I would love to break down how representatives perform on the floor based on how patriotic their ties are. But that's insane. That's absolutely insane.
It doesn't sound insane to me.
So we passed the fantasy sports bill last year, and I always said we should do a Mo-Ledge fantasy legislation bill, and everybody bets on there, but that's highly unethical. And I imagine the MEC right now is like Becky Lohman and doing unethical things, but similar to that, I mean, hugely. You can never do it.
Did they do like a March Madness thing in the spring?
Well, there's some fundraisers.
Okay, yeah. Somebody's gonna hit me up for money here in a minute.
Right, okay, I know. Right. Pivot hard to something else.
Of course, the campaign, this was your first campaign, mm-hmm. right, ever?
Right.
Did you have any interesting experiences door knocking, canvassing, etc.? I was once attacked by chickens.
Oh, okay. Did not get attacked by chickens, but we started noticing more and more trees that had faces on them, and yeah, apparently that's kind of in vogue. And the first one was a little weird.
Wait, I need more explanation on that. I don't think we can move past okay. that.
So I had a Madeline Smith was my assistant this summer. She's in college, and then I had another assistant after she went back to school. But she was with me every day in the summer, and we were out like 8 hours a day in the heat. The first time we see the face. It's like glued on pieces of a face. So it's like a big smile and then eyes and a nose on a tree. So the first time it was a little, you know, a little creepy. But then we started seeing them more and more. Like,
so then
like
it became less creepy because
the only thing we saw more frequently were that is the dressed up geese, which is not creepy, but people dress their geese up
what
for like the weather.
What does say about your constituents?
I love my constituents.
Softball.
The trees were interesting. What I started seeing more towards the middle of the summer was just there was so much noise about the national election, so people would ask me a loaded question about who I was supporting for president, and based on my answer, would either be ecstatic or scream at me and tell me to get off their property. So, and then I had someone. Not that long ago, right before the general election, came out of his house screaming at me, telling me he knew who I was, and he was tired of all this religious stuff that I was sending him. And I don't know who he thought I was, because I don't think I've sent him anything religious. I mean, I think my faith is on my website. Mm-hmm. But he chased me. I mean, I wasn't like running, but he was following me down the driveway, yelling at me and screaming at me. Unfortunately, I had my male assistant with me, and he was like, what is going on? And I just kept walking, and he stood at the side of the road and screamed at me as we walked down the street about being a religious fanatic and how we needed to leave him alone, and he didn't want any part of our religion. So,
wow, don't trouble me.
So I think, so maybe he thought you were a religious organization as opposed to an elected official.
I don't know, but sometimes you try to reason with someone, and then at one point you realize they're not really angry at me. There's something going on there, so I just need to move along and let them figure it out. So that's what we did. I got flipped off a couple of times with people driving down the street.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't that bad. I mean, I've been in sales.
It wasn't that bad. I love it.
I've been in sales a long time, so like you're used to getting hung up on. Yeah, you gotta have a thick skin. Our coach, you know, I've ruined children's lives by not letting them play. So I'm used to being attacked by people. I shouldn't say I'm used to it, but it's
you've dealt with people like that before.
Right. You just try not to take it personally, but that doesn't mean it doesn't bother you sometimes. Sure. And then I do have a small area of pretty substantial Muslim population, and I was really excited to learn that most of the Muslims in that population are Republicans. They did support me, and it gave me an opportunity to meet some people that I didn't know, because we hear a lot of negative things about Muslims in the national media, and my experience was very positive with the people that live in my district, and I appreciate the fact that they supported me as well. So there were more good things than bad, but that's just one of them.
I will say, and this might be terrible, but my favorite thing about meeting, like, new people that aren't like me is the food. So, did you, and maybe that's just because I'm super pregs right now, but did you get to know any of them well enough that you got to experience, like, new cuisine?
No, we didn't eat there. We got offered water sometimes, but yeah. I kind of shied away from that. You're on a time limit. You know, you only want to stay at a short period of time.
Yeah.
You gotta prioritize. If I were pregnant, I probably would have stayed.
Or not in door knock, period. I'd be like, I'm going to pass on this one, guys. Yeah, it's interesting to hear your feedback, because we have Representative Bondin on last week, and coming from someone that's never door knocked before and someone that has Representative Bondin had before, his take on how it's kind of changed. And to your point about people hollering at you based on your presidential election support, he said that he felt folks were so much more guarded than they'd been before, and they were very hesitant to sort of share. So it's just interesting to, from someone that's never done it before, that what your perspective is.
My whole strategy was to introduce myself and ask them what their issues were. And if they said they didn't have any or they just wanted to hear about me, I would share something about me, but I just wanted to hear what they had to say. And what I found was that a lot of people, whether they agreed with my positions that were on my handout or not. They just appreciated being heard. The other thing is I learned a lot. I learned a lot about issues that I didn't know anything about by actually listening to these people and finding out what was important.
Yeah.
So things that had never occurred to me before, and some things that I've brought with me. And then sometimes they would come up again. You know, a couple days later, somebody said, well, I'm really concerned about this. And I'd say, you know, someone just mentioned that to me, and I did some research, and, you know, I'll look into that, and can I follow up with you? So it was nice to hear from people what some of their burning issues were, and they're not necessarily what you've been told. And so the best thing to do, although it's very hard sometimes, particularly when the weather's not good, to go door knock, is to go door knock and listen to people and find out what's on their minds. Because if you ask them persistently, they will tell you. And you just got to be willing to listen.
If you had to pick three major issues that concerns your district, what would they be?
Well, the biggest thing was the economy. I heard consistently we want people to focus on economic issues and stay off social issues. So I heard that a lot in my district. Secondly, roads and bridges. They went and people in my district are saying we'll pay more as long as you fix our roads. But we also have some pretty major intersections in my district that people are concerned about. So those were two, and then probably. You know, education comes up a lot, but I would say the third thing was probably crime and police, particularly since while this was going on, we had a police officer shot, not in my district. It was in Representative Dogan's district, just outside of my district, and he was actually caught. The perpetrator was caught in my district. He drove through there. And then there were a lot of police and people related to police. Like, for example, my brother is a police officer. So people were concerned. They feel like their police were under attack. They feel like crime has gotten out of control, particularly in the city of St. Louis, and it's spreading. And, you know, crime is a big issue. We want to grow our economy, but when people are afraid to go downtown in St. Louis, it's hard. You know, they talk about building stadiums and using taxpayer dollars for it, and people in my area are like, well, why don't you get rid of the crime and then we'll think about whether we want to build a stadium there. We don't even know if we want to drive down there right now. So crime and punishment, or crime and the police, became increasingly an issue as more incidents happened, and they kept happening. You know, it didn't really stop, and it hasn't stopped. We just had we've had a couple more police officers shot even since the election. So it's a big issue.
That's really intense. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk a little bit more about the bill you're going to pre-file. I know you haven't done it yet,
mm-hmm.
but, and kind of like how you talked about, it's not a problem that, like, I see whenever you right. walk around. It's not a problem most people see.
And not when you're really looking for either.
Right.
So right. you can't really find something if you don't know what to look for or kind of it's on your radar.
But one of the first things I learned about policy was sometimes in order to cinch the problem in the bud, you have to fix all the side effects of the problem. Have you thought of any other ways that would help curtail sex trafficking in the future? I know we just had a committee that just wrapped, and they have a report that'll be coming out soon, but
I'm looking forward to reading the report and then continuing to meet with representatives from Congresswoman Wagner's office, because I'm relatively uneducated to what some of the issues are and the solutions. I've read the same articles that you read. I've spoken with the Speaker Pro Tem Elijah Haar about some of the things that he found, and you know, they've talked about like expunging records and some things like that. Now, I don't know if that will curtail, but at least to help some of the victims. Small things like continuing state tax credits for some of the charities that help women with that issue. But on the prevention side, I don't know. I know Congresswoman Wagner's talked about putting something in public areas about how to report it. And I've seen that in other states. Like if you go into a restroom in California, the airport, you'll see a sign about how to report sex trafficking, or if you see it, or if you're a victim of it, and how to get help. So I need to learn more about those things, but I don't have any easy answers. I think if there were easy answers, they probably would have done these things. But the little ways that we can attack it and come at it at different angles, do whatever we can to stop it. And in addition to that, I think getting married at 15 is ridiculous. So I mean,
fair. That's fair.
I mean, I'm married at 28. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, you can't right. drive. You can't really have a job. So you're basically
you can't
vote. You're enslaved to this person. So that concerns me on a number of levels, and the fact that it seems to be being taken advantage of by the worst among us is just another reason to change it, change the law.
Sure. Well, we have 5 questions for you.
5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Uh-oh. So okay. 5 questions. So this is fun. It's not supposed to trip you up or anything. So question 1. You are a former athlete. Mm-hmm. You're super into sports. What is your greatest sports achievement?
My boys volleyball team won a state championship in 2015. And that has to be the highlight of my athletic career. Being a part of that with those guys was really amazing. I'll never forget it. It was awesome.
So you coach boys and girls. What's the difference coaching two genders?
Well, besides the obvious.
I think, and I hesitate to say this because I'm a tremendously competitive person, but one of the things that I came to realize through coaching was that girls in general are not as competitive as I am, and that boys in general tend to be a little more. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to also say that most of them weren't as competitive as me, and that would be frustrating.
You're the most
too.
Competitive person in the Missouri legislature right now, maybe.
I don't know. Well, there are a lot of competitors out there, but the other thing is, this could be really controversial, but for males, being good at sports and being aggressive are traditional male characteristics. And so for girls, they are not. And so there's always some competing things with girls. Like, they're afraid to hurt each other. They don't want to be too mean and those sort of things. Another coach I used to work with said, you know, if a girl walks into the gym when guys are practicing, they start practicing harder. Right?
Yeah.
If a guy walks into the gym when the girls are practicing, they start fixing their hair. Okay? So not to be, again, to draw two sexist of lines, but there's definitely differences in the approach. But to say you can yell at guys, you can't yell at girls, that's not true. Because male athletes tend to have fragile egos, so maybe they aren't mm-hmm. going to cry, but you can
They'll
crush
throw
them.
A fit, right?
Right. Yeah. And you don't want to mess with people's confidence, whether they're male mm-hmm. or female, so you have to find different ways to approach that. So long answer to your question.
Yeah. Well, that was a good answer. So again, I'm trying to like pivot this whole thing towards sports. You guys can tell. Okay, so second question. So out in the rotunda, we have a bus of famous Missourians. Who would you put in the Hall of Famous Missourians if you could pick somebody?
I think all the ones that I would pick are already in there.
So, you want to know mine?
Nelly.
Yes. Nelly.
Nelly.
Nelly,
okay,
of course. Wow. How good would that Band-Aid look in a bronze bus?
Can Chingy get a little one right beside him?
Absolutely. Yeah. This, we're making the rules here. So, okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
Have Nelly. A mini Hall of Missouri.
Nelly.
I'm into wow. it. I'm into it.
I don't know. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is Eric Schmidt. I'm going to do
You guys have the tall thing going on,
that's
so I totally get it.
I totally respect him, too. So.
I'm so on board with Eric being in the Hall of Famous Missourians. This is fantastic. Okay, so aside from your basic necessities.
Hold on.
Okay.
Are you or Catherine Hanaway taller?
I'm taller than Catherine, just slightly.
Okay, because I might need to do some Bill Belichick breakdown, seeing who the tallest woman in the legislature ever.
You know what? She might be 6 foot. I'm not sure. We're pretty close.
Okay. Next time you're together, we'll do the okay. back-to-back, right?
Okay. We'll yeah. collapse. All right. Got it.
I'm very supportive of tall women in the Missouri legislature because, you know, when you wear heels and you're 6'3".
I'm a big fan of Catherine.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, third question. Aside from necessities, what is one thing you couldn't go a day without?
Chapstick.
Okay. You have some chapstick. Is this like a winter time? Is this in your brain?
It's a necessity.
Well, it's sort of an oxymoron. It's sort of oxymoronic, right? If you can't go a day without it, isn't that a necessity by definition? Right.
Yeah, who wrote this question?
I didn't. Well, I pulled it off the internet. I'm a liar.
I don't know. I would probably say music, really.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, because like chapstick kind of falls under like... I don't know. Shampoo
like personal hygiene.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I would say music.
What's your favorite kind of music? What kind of music?
I listen to a lot of like new alternative kind of punk, that stuff. So
right, rock
so
on.
So if you could bring a band to St. Louis to like, okay, let's rephrase this. I gotta ask it. If you could bring a band to the inaugural ball,
there you go.
Who would it be?
Okay.
That's a good question.
If you got
a question.
This is not one of the 5 questions.
Most of them are pretty obscure, so if I had to pick, like, I would say the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're on tour right now.
I'm going to see them.
Oh my god.
I'm going to drive back during session and come back the next morning. Yeah,
that's
all right.
Not gonna
that's amazing. Back. Well, half the we'll all be gone. I'll be like, we're Red Hot Chili Peppers. Don't do anything important while we're not here. question four. So you talked about the economy being a big reason and something you heard your constituents talk about. What's the biggest economic boon Missouri could do this year that would kind of kickstart the economy?
No pressure.
I'm going to say tort reform.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay. Bold move.
Yeah.
That's going to take a longer time. It's not necessarily a kick.
Yeah.
It's more of a push.
A slow push. Right.
But then we'll gain momentum and we'll get there, you know, get a bigger gain out of it. Yeah.
Last question. Are you ready for it?
Yes. It's the best one.
What song would you sing at karaoke night?
Left Hand Free by All Today.
Oh, wow.
What is that song?
I totally know that song. I am impressed, Representative Evans, I must say.
Dude, is that available in karaoke binders?
It should be.
If you know all the words, isn't it karaoke? I mean, that's by definition, right? You don't need the
background music?
You don't need the lyrics, I guess.
Yeah, you don't need lyrics or music.
Right. Wow, I am like... I'm so impressed. Wow. That'd be hard to rock out to.
It would be hard to sing, but
it would be hard to sing. It's a good, like good one.
It's a challenge. I like a challenge.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
No.
We'll listen to it after the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
we'll get real life with Representative Evans doing a little stylistic singing in
Okay, we're gonna be off the air
in
for
the
that,
building. Absolutely. Because okay. I know our sponsors would not appreciate that at all. But hopefully the first sponsor can recommend a great karaoke bar for us to try this out. The St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, always thank you so much, and Republic of Services and the Carpenters Regional Council, we appreciate you very much. This has been another episode of Mo-Ledge Podcast. This is Rachel Herndon Dunn with soon to be Representative Jean Evans, currently just Jean, co-host Becky Lohman, and our producer Bean Peters, whatever. Thanks for listening. Bye.